My talk here today is really not dictated by me. Blame it all on Rabbi Nissen Wolpin. Several months ago, Rabbi Wolpin delivered to my door a book that was on the top of the New York Times bestseller list, entitled Chutzpah by Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law School. He wanted me to review the book, and after reading it, Otzach Me'anishke Glist. There was too much there in the book that I did not even begin to want to talk about. And so I put him off, and put him off, and put him off. And then the subject for today's symposium came about, and it was clear that there was a desire for us to deal here with the issue of Jewish survival in urban America, the problems of anti-Semitism, how we respond to anti-Semitism. And we've been, when thinking about that subject, the issue of the Dershowitz book came front and center. It seems to me that there are several parts to this subject of Jewish survival in urban America. One is external, how it is that we deal with the goyim. The other is internal, how we deal with ourselves. The second subject has been dealt with by both of the Rosh Yeshiva today, and I shall touch upon it in the end of my remarks, but in a very different vein. But the problem of how to respond to anti-Semitism is a very difficult one. I'm afraid that regardless of what we say here today, there are going to be folks out there in secular Jewish organizations that will continue their merry way. But that does not free us from looking at the problem and asking what is a Torah response. For those of you who have read the Dershowitz book, some of you may be taken by it. I, by the way, don't recommend put the book on your reading list. But the thesis of the book is a very popular one, and one which is very much in the street today. Before dealing with the question of Jewish response to anti-Semitism or a Torah response to anti-Semitism, I would like to raise three very concrete settings in which we either should or should not have responded. One of them started several years ago. In Poland, at the site of the Auschwitz concentration camp, the Catholic Church put up a monastery run by the Carmelite nuns with a huge Salem portrayed. I believe it was a 20-foot cross. It deeply offended Jews. We were all offended. But one American Jewish leader made it a cause celeb, and indeed went to Auschwitz, sought to confront the Polish Catholic Church and Cardinal Glemp. There was a physical confrontation. There was then a rabidly anti-Semitic speech by Cardinal Glemp to 150,000 Poles, in which there was an accusation against Rabbi Avi Weiss and the people who came there that what they had intended to do was, in fact, to kill the nuns and destroy the monastery. We will return to this story shortly, but that's the basic background. And the question will be, how should we have responded? Several months ago, in Crown Heights, in a story which all of us know too well, as a result of a tragic automobile accident in which a black child was killed, the neighborhood went up in smoke. Marauding gangs ran the streets. The police department of the city of New York stood by idly for several days while there was wholesale destruction and indeed loss of life. Tyra Yingeman Yankel Rosalom Hashem Yinkam Dumay was killed by a group of blacks with screaming, "He's a Jew, let's kill him." And finally, the third story, when the question of the loan guarantees for Russian Jewry for the Israeli government to help resettle Russian Jewry was on the table, the President of the United States held those loan guarantees hostage to the peace process. But the most interesting development that had taken place, and one which indeed the President later apologized for, was his response to a question at a press conference in which he said it was little old George Bush against thousands of lobbyists who were fanning the city of Washington and exerting their influence. How ought we to have responded to each and every one of these events? It seems to me that there are two ways to look at a response to anti-Semitism. One is pragmatic, and the other is ideological. Let me read you a short quote from the Dershowitz book. He castigates American Jews for viewing themselves as second-class citizens, as guests in another people's land, and urges that we must demand the first-class status we have earned in America. The concluding line in his book is very revealing. "One conclusion is certain," he says. "Unless we regard ourselves as first-class citizens and as first-class Jews, no one else will so regard us." The issue of whether or not we ought to pragmatically, as a matter of good common sense, respond to anti-Semitism is one that we will deal with shortly. But before we deal with that, we have to deal with this picture. And that is, we are here, we're first-class citizens, first-class Jews, we ought to stand up and demand our rights as citizens of this country because we in fact have and are entitled to true equality. Now the reason that I think that this is so important is that the moment that you commit yourself to an ideological response to anti-Semitism, the idea of making a shikul hadas, a weighing of the pros and cons, whether a response is appropriate or is not appropriate, literally goes out the window. Because if you are fighting for a holy principle, for the egalitarian principle for full equality, is kolu kol akitzin, is es das amachloikes l'shem shemayin, mizmen doch gein in feir and wasser rein, and there is no question but that you must always fight and that your response must always be strident. So, let me place the question very directly. Are we first-class citizens? Is it attainable under the view of Torah? Is it desirable? I don't have to answer that question myself. V'amikikta bislarein in svorim, it is, I think, borur kachama, clear beyond answer, beyond question rather, that we are not, cannot, and we should not desire it. In Parshas Vayishlach, Zog de Noem Elimelech, the Helike Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhensk, of Mposik, Koi Soimlun La'adoni La'esov, so you shall say to my master Esov, Zog de Noem Elimelech, Hine HaToyra HaGedoysha Melamedi Sonu, Eich Lisnahig Begolus, Hamar Hazeh. The Torah teaches us how to be noig, how to conduct ourselves in this bitter goes. Asher anachnu nesunim tachas yad ha'umois, when we are under the hand of the umois, va'anachnu mukhrochim bekabel ha'golus, and we are forced to be bekabel the golus, be'ahava, with love, ad yirachem Hashem oleinu, till the Rabbeinu Shlomo will be merachem on us, v'yigoleinu ge'ulos oilom, b'mehera. And now he says, u'be'oid, sha'anachnu be'golus ha'mar, as long as we are in this bitter golus, onu muchrochim lihiyos nichnoim, we are forced to be subjugated lifnehem, before the umes oilom, ulekeiram adoinim, and to call them masters, vizahu koisim lun adoini leesov, and that is why the Torah, why Yankiv said, Koi Saim Lula Adoni Le'esov. Not first class citizens, second class citizens. And for those of you who are seeking a non-Hasidic source for this, I could refer you to the Meshe Chochma in Bechukosai. Meshech Chochma on a with a theme that is very, very similar, not only tells us that it is unattainable, as the Rebbe Gamelech says, but also says that it is devastating for us. He says on the Posik, referring to the Posik, Vayogel Sham, Melaneh Shelo Yorod Yankel Avinu Lishtakeya, that Avraham Yankel Avinu did not go down to seek to establish residence in Mitzrayim, Ela Logur Shom, but to live there, to reside there for a temporary period of time. He says, Pirish, Melamed Ledoiris, this teaches us for all generations, Bechol Golus Vegolus, in every Golus, Hahanoga, Sheyedun, we shall know that we are not there as residents, but as visitors. Advoiket ayomim. V'yil machshivim be'enei atzmam loike ezrochim, and we shall be in our own eyes not as citizens. Loike ezrochim. And indeed, he goes on to talk about the Gzeles Chazal of Yud Ches Dover, that is, that separates Goyim from Yidden, and says in language which is Hafla, that the Gzele of Yud Ches Dover, which separates Goyim from Yidden, that also Yenom and Chamnom and Pitom, all of the Gzeles that Chazal made, He says, Ulochein Amru be Yerushalmi. Shafilu Eliyahu and Yochelavatl. Even Eliyahu cannot be Mevatl these Gezeres. Pirish, he says. Koz man Sheloibu Hagoyel Vyipsak Shibud Malchus, until Mashiach comes and interrupts, stops the Shibud Malchus. Afilu Boha Mevasa. Even if the Mevaser HaGeula comes and says, Ki tekev yovoi, he's coming immediately, tomorrow kimta. Lo yevatl, sheheim heim hadvorim hamekaimim la'uma v'goyla umazkirim oisei shehu Yisrael v'hu be'aretz loy loy. We are Jews and in a land that does not belong to us. So much for ideological egalitarianism. Ideological egalitarianism is not part of a Torah Hashgofa. That now means, it seems to me, that if we are thinking about how we are to respond to anti-Semitism, we do not respond with an ideological state of mind which says, I seek equality, but we respond with what economists today would call risk-benefit analysis. You make a hard, practical judgment. Is it worth it? My very good friend of David Zwiebel, the outstanding, what's the official title, head of government affairs, brought to my attention in our discussions a Das Kenim Bivalet Toisvis in Parshas Vayelech. And the Das Kenim says on the Posik, Rois Rabois Vitzorois, that in the Golus, that Rois Rabois Vitzorois, so will happen to us. So the Das Kenim brings a very interesting moshul. He says that the Rois will be tzores, will be interconnected like a tzora, a relationship. He says, what does he mean? He gives the example of someone who has a bee bite and a scorpion bite. He says, for the bee bite, cold water is good, and for the scorpion bite, hot water helps. And if you were to use the opposite for each of the other bites, you would be in sakona. He says, what does one do if he is bitten by both the bee and the scorpion? Do you use cold water, is bitter the agal? Do you use hot water, is euch bitter the agal? And he says, the chach hein sorosein shol Yisrael begolus. So are the tzoros of Yisrael in golus. Kishaakim meitzer loy, when Goyim oppressed the Jew, yore litzoik alav, he is afraid to scream out, pen yisnoeu, maybe he will hate him. V'im lo yitzak, and if he doesn't scream out, yagli yos meitzer loy, he'll get used to being an oppressor. Is oili mi yitzri, oili mi yitzri. It's a Hobson's choice. It's a terrible situation. But vi nisht vi. Once we understand that we are in this matzav, judgment and good judgment has to be made. There is a view in the street that these are political judgments that don't belong to Gedolei Yisrael. Strange. Whether or not to take somebody off a respirator, that's a shaila halacha. But whether to run a demonstration, or whether or not to regive the press throughout the world, which can put Yidden in sakana, that's not a shaila. Das make me paskin in alein. Cannot be. The judgments that have to be made are hard and difficult judgments. But they cannot be made on the basis of ego. They can't be made on the basis of short-term goals. One has to be able to look at the entire picture. Let's go back and talk about some of these events. After the Glemp affair, after Weiss confronted Glemp in Poland, and after Glemp made his infamous statement, Glemp was supposed to come to the United States for a visit. Alan Dershowitz filed, or prepared to file, a lawsuit against Glemp, which has already now been filed, but this was in 89. A lawsuit based on defamation of character of Rabbi Avi Weiss, because he had accused him of saying things about Rabbi Weiss's intentions, which were in fact false. When Glemp got Dershowitz's letter, he decided to cancel his trip to the United States. Dershowitz crowed. It was a great victory for decency. It was a victory for Jewish power. It sent a clear message to Cardinal Glemp and his ilk. Jews no longer take this kind of bigotry without fighting back. We don't just hide in our homes and pray that there will be no pogrom. We don't come hat in hand begging for justice. We invoke our rights as equals. We fight back as equals and we get results. Agadilla. Cardinal Glemp did not get fired by the Pope. In Poland. And Cardinal Glemp isn't the only anti-Semite in the Vatican, nor throughout the Catholic world. There are Jews throughout this world in Medinas that are primarily Catholic, who have Chevra Light the same as Glenn, and then who are in a position to be mates of the Yisrael. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? For what? Made a statement that anti-Semitism is unacceptable to us? First of all, I have news for you. The Ikir Chosa Min HaSefer. Because as to the anti-Semitic statements that he made, Dershowitz would be the first under principles of free press to give him all the right and not the full latitude of speaking the most violent and vicious anti-Semitic rhetoric possible. It was only Valagatzuch Oget Shepet in a personal liable statement here that there was a cause of action in the first place. And in fact, if one looks at the manifesto of the liberals, total and untrammeled free speech is part of the religion. Is to give Glemp the platform to spew forth his anti-Semitism, but because he found a hook to be able to file a lawsuit against Glemp, giving a false defamation case, then it became kosher. I don't understand it. I don't understand the trade-offs. I don't understand the value. I don't understand seeing this constant refrain on the front pages of the newspapers throughout the world for 3 years without a stop. I don't understand it. It seems to me it takes its strength and it takes its power from the ideological base and not the pragmatic risk-benefit base of what is this response sensible at this moment. Let me say a word about Crown Heights. I've spent a lot of time talking to the people in Crown Heights. Their feeling is that two factors, not the normal interaction between blacks and Hasidim in that neighborhood, but two factors played out to make the tragedy that took place. One was that there were tens of thousands of kids, unemployed blacks, on the streets. And that's a function of the economic hard times that we're through. And the other was that for the 3 weeks prior to the Crown Heights riots, the blacks heard nothing but "down with Leonard Jeffries." Vadidus Leonard Jeffries. Leonard Jeffries is an inconsequential non-entity who is on the faculty of CCNY and who through normal rotation got a chair of the department, of the Black Studies department. Nobody ever heard of him before and nobody would have heard of him afterwards. But he had the good judgment for a son of Yisrael, because Kol HaMeitzel Yisrael Na'aseh Roish, he had the good judgment to have made a statement that in Hollywood it was the Jews and the Italians who combined and conspired together to put the blacks down. Every single Jewish organization, secular Jewish organization, is gekimmen mit gemacht, a gewalt, wer weiß, wer so du gerät, was er hat gesagt. And for weeks on end, that was the theme. It played out on the front pages of the newspapers. It was black headlines in the New York Post and the Daily News for days on end. My friend tells me, he said, you know, you don't listen to WBLI, which is the black radio station. And I confessed I don't. I don't listen to any radio station. But he tells me that the constant refrain throughout these weeks was, they got our Malcolm, they got our Martin, they now want our Lenny. We're not going to give it to them. So what we did was create a folk hero by taking a non-entity, taking a statement which should have fallen into oblivion, turn it up into hype, and then when it came back as part of a very complex process to hurt. Strange thing. When it came to Jeffries, is all the Jewish organizations, they understood that you can't talk about Jews and Italians being conspiring together to put down the blacks. That was clearly anti-Semitism. But when 3 weeks later, Jews, the homes of Jews were being destroyed and Crown Heights looked like Berlin after Kristallnacht, and the Jewish young man was killed, they couldn't figure out that that was anti-Semitism. It took him not 1 day and not two and not three and not four and not five. It took a week later till Visenge came in. Maybe it's anti-Semitism. We responded better. And the history of Agudas Yisrael's response is is clear. But I have to say, and it was a very rough week because it was also the week in which the Russian Empire fell also, and there were serious concerns for Yidden throughout throughout that world. But we didn't respond in time as well. It took us too long. And the us doesn't mean only Agudas Yisrael. It means all of the Torah community. We had no way, we have no mechanism, and it's a terrible data in which we can, at a time of emergency, at a time when Yiddish, when Yiddish and Neshamas and Yiddish and Jewish lives and an entire kibbutz of Yidden are under threat, to bring us all together in a way in which we can act in 12 hours. Leider, Sharpton can act in 15 minutes. It didn't take him very long to show up with his troops in Crown Heights. It isn't the fault of any individual, it isn't the fault of any organization. But it is a bitter, bitter commentary on where we stand in Golus. The interventions that were undertaken here were heroic, and I believe many of them were very, very important. But Rabbi Scherer is one person. And Klal Yisrael is an awfully, awfully big kibbutz. And we do not have the ability to marshal it all in short time, in a time of serious emergency. It was Chasdei Hashem Oleinu. I mean, the blacks said, first Crown Heights, Williamsburg is next. And Williamsburg and Crown Heights ain't very far from Borough Park. Dershowitz says that that this is not a pogrom. Pogrom is only sponsored by government. Maybe technically right. I don't know what you call it when government sits by
and watches this happen. If it's not a pogrom, it's a look-see pogrom.
What are we to do about it?
I call again on a piece written by Reb Chaim David Zwiebel in Coalition. If you haven't read it, I urge you to read it. First and foremost, something that Agudas Yisrael has been talking about and Rabbi Scherer has been talking about for years and years and years, we had better get it straight. We got to get ourselves registered to vote. We have become chronic non-voters. Our voter participation is terrible. Our registration is terrible. We want to be able to deal with a city and a state government with some power. We have to be able to vote. And it is no excuse that you do not register to vote because you're going to show up on jury rolls. First of all, I hereby inform you that your information is wrong, that that is not where the jury lists are taken from. And secondly, if it were, it is no excuse to be in a position where we take a gewaltig kibbutz of Eden and simply make them weak in the eyes of government. We have been told, Rochel Bitra Haktana, you don't count because you don't vote. And we've got to start doing some thinking, as unpleasant as it may be, about drawing coalitions with some people who we might not otherwise want to draw coalitions with. Reb Chaim David made this point, and I think he's right. We have learned in Agudas Yisrael that we can make coalitions with the Catholic Church when necessary, with groups on the right when necessary, to help our agenda. The fact of the matter is that we live next door in every one of our communities to either black or Hispanic communities, and we had better learn how to draw some coalitions. We have some common issues. Poverty is an issue that hits not only the blacks, it hits our communities as well. Healthcare is a issue that hits not only the blacks, but hits ours as well. We have to be able to draw these things to be able to somehow or other begin to deal with the very, very hostile world that's out there. It may not be fully determinative, but it sure could help. We need to have people within those communities whom we have some alliances with. Finally, let me make my pitch for one of what I consider one of the most serious problems arising from urbanism. We don't think of it that way. We don't think of it as a problem because we are, Baruch Hashem, members of communities. Each one of us in our kehillah, we're members of communities that I have some cohesion. But one of the most serious problems of urbanism is loneliness. The Navi wanted to be able to picture, to give us a picture of the most serious human problem, the greatest vaitik. He said, Eicha Yoshva Bodod. Over the last couple years, I've seen more than my share of serious family problems, serious child abuse problems, serious wife abuse problems. I think that there is one common denominator in all that I've seen. and that is that all of them suffer from the most serious ill of urbanism, is that they are alone and unconnected. And a human being alone and unconnected is the most dangerous species on the face of this earth. We have, Baruch Hashem, live and vibrant communities, and they mean a lot to us. But on each one of our blocks, there are people who do not belong. And they're isolated and alone and can't cope. And this loneliness drives to huge and unsolvable human problems. We may not be able to resolve the issue of anti-Semitism in an urban world, although I think we ought to intelligently approach it. But one problem that we can do a lot about is the ill of urban loneliness, and that is Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, the families that are not connected. It is a chesed of outstanding proportion if we can learn to touch and relate to them. Number one, somebody is in a position to see problems before they become beyond the ability of dealing with them. And secondly, the mere touch of another caring human being who cares enough to put their well-being on the line is enough to turn a home around. So that when we remember that and we talk about urbanism, we ought to talk also about fighting the loneliness that is out there. The single family is not an operational entity. It can't work. It can't cope. It can't deal. That is something. That is one of the problems of urbanism that each and every one of us is in a position to do something about.